right, coming back at you. We've rounded the corner. I mean, there's so much to say that I can't get it said in this. So I would urge you to go to the Zeff Report online. I mean, we get a lot said in a couple hours, but in a lot done. I guess it's done rather than said, yeah? But, you know, you really want to, if you have access to the computer or the internet, you can go to ZeffReport.com, ZeffDaniel.com, ZedJaw.com. ZedJaw, the musical, my musical, my one-man band name. And you can, you know, there are podcasts that go back for years there that are dealing with, you know, the fruit of all the things that we've gone through and all the things that we've been processing, like what we were talking to, the new brother John, all those things about gang stalking, all those things about, you know, the aliens, the military industrial complex, the, you know, Satanism, satanic ritual abuse, all that, you know, demonic activity that's all going on all around us. And people are acting like, you know, they're whistling by the graveyard. They're acting like they don't see it, but they do. They're just afraid. And now we're going to talk to Govinda. And this is just a perfect segue because we're going to go right. You'll see we're going to go right in to the same kind of thing. And I want to, you know, what I want to talk about this next hour is I want to put a little emphasis on, you know, things of the end. In other words, you know, the great, exciting time of this is, and not only an exciting time, but scripture says, rejoice because I'm avenging you. You all have taken a beating, a lot of you. You're barely alive and your trauma will be gone. You will be restored before the sight of them and it will make them, they will scream in agony if they see you, as whole, as healed, as, do you know what I'm saying? Well, let me just not hog the whole thing. Let me get Govinda in here. Govinda!
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
Hey, how are you? What time is it there in Sri Lanka?
It is 9:30 p.m. over here.
Okay, so it's not that much. I guess you would have tremendous jet lag if you flew from here to there, since it's basically 10 o'clock here.
Yeah, we're actually at...
A day ahead.
I think it's five and a half hours past GMT. So
you're basically, yeah, you're basically ahead of us by almost a half a day.
Yeah, by half a day. So I can tell you how it is a half a day ahead.
Anyway, so what do you think? I mean, you know, this has been, you know, all the hysteria about 11/11. I don't know if you've seen it, but this time or feeling of the end of how things are changing. And it's changing for us too, in a very, mm-hmm. I'd say, positive and empowering way. But I mean, this is the wrap up, isn't it?
Well, you know, Zeff, I was just even before we were, I'm excited. I'm excited. You know, it's when I look and I see, you know, so many of the things that God has been doing with us, with His people, mm-hmm. you know, preparing us even for what we're coming into. It's an incredibly exciting time for the people of God. But I was talking with a buddy of mine the other day, and you know, one thing you just realize is when you start walking with Christ, when you start on that journey, the things that He puts you through, the experiences that He has us go through, they're all with purpose. They're all with reason. Everything that we go through when we start walking with Him is actually it all leads into the next thing. So there's always something that we go through now that will you realize in the next stage, oh, that was the reason for it. And it's always a blessing. And you wouldn't take away from what God stretched you with. It's difficult. Yeah. You know, it's stretching. But and we wouldn't choose it in ourselves. But when we come to the other side of it, we're so grateful for that process. Mm-hmm. But when people don't walk with God, what happens is they just go through things for nothing. they go through stuff for no reason.
Well, there is a reason. You know, the reason is they're there if they're empowered at all, and they've rejected God. Obviously, then it's beyond vanity. They're actually not their own. They're not on their own recognizance. Something is in mm-hmm. them controlling them, and they're doing the bidding of something else, not themselves. But they think it's themselves. And, you know, all of us fit into this puzzle. You can fit in, even if you fit in the dark side of the puzzle, it's still God's will in the end.
Yeah, absolutely. I
mean, so nothing, when we look back on all this, everything that, you know, we'll see God's perfect tapestry, and nothing was outside his will.
Yeah, exactly.
In other words, it's a cause for a great celebration in the sense that, you know, we kind of know what's happening here, but God's serious about vengeance. And I really have to stress that today. That's the word that has been coming for the last week over and over and over, that this is not for us. It's not meant for us. It's meant to avenge that all that blood that was spilled, all those innocent lives wasted, all those talented people thrown down the garbage can, all the abortions and wars and pain and suffering that has gone on will be addressed. There will be justice, not a man's turn, but he will bring justice. But he says, rejoice because I'm now avenging you. And in that avenging, it also is it also points to a restoration of us to where we will be empowered upon the earth, i.e. the rising of the lambs, which I'm seeing everywhere right now.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, he did say in Scripture that vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And it's his. So he owns it, and he brings it about at his time, his way, part of his plan and his purpose. And, you know, for his children, you know, part of our role in that is just to stay in step, because he has us doing different things at different times and different places, but it's all feeds back into his greater plan and purpose. And, you know, I think sometimes people, if you allow your emotional state to be dictated by your external circumstances, you're going to miss it. You know, you're going to miss what God's doing right now, because the outside of what's going on, that's just the outside. I mean, for people that have been walking with God, we've been under attack from day one. I mean, it's not been like, you know, okay, something's now coming up or something's going to happen. I mean, it's been an onslaught since my earliest memories. All I can remember is an onslaught, you know, and the very fact that we're still here.
Yeah,
it's the miracle in the hand of God. So we're here by God's design. We're here by God's plan and purpose. And actually, the irony in this situation is we're actually thriving at this time. God, by his plan and purpose, is like you said, is raising up his people for something. And that's part of the mystery that's being revealed, is what those some things are.
Well, he gave me something last night, and he said that I'm restoring you to go to and fro upon the earth and our people, you know, not just for me, but our people. And by being there and by going to where he tells you to go and just standing there, you become a weapon of war. But we won't shrink back. There'll be no running and ducking into the, into the car, into the bar, into the wherever you have to duck into this, into that. No more, no need for that. You'll have supernatural power to walk this earth.
Absolutely, because Zephyr, we become portals of light, if you would. We become portals of the kingdom of God. I mean, the Spirit of God is within us, and so because the Spirit of God lives in us, flows through us, like Christ said, you know, out of our bellies would flow rivers of living water. So he flows through us. So wherever it is that we go, yeah, absolutely. You know, there's a lot of times when God would send me to different places. I mean, you know a lot more than most about kind of how things would work with me in the years that have come. But you know, he would literally just send me to certain places just to be there. You know, it wasn't, you know, on some extravagant thing. It was just because he wanted one of his there, because his Spirit flows through us. And then you do something, you don't know really all of the intricacies of it, but there's always some bigger purpose behind it. But it's on a kingdom level. It's on a spiritual level, because our fight is not against flesh and blood. It is against powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. And on that level, God flows through those that are aligned with him to literally crush that stuff, move it out of the way, wash it away, break it, destroy it.
Yeah,
and he flows through his people.
That's right. And he showed me this one thing where, you know, it was like, okay, so you're restored, you're healed, you're walking to and fro about the earth, and it's driving them insane. almost like it's almost like you know, with the two witnesses, it's the same story as the two witnesses, and the people can't do anything about it. They can, you know, shut the rain off, they can bring lightning bolts down, they can do all kinds of things. Nobody can touch them. Nobody can touch them, and it drives them insane. It drives them off to the point of suicide.
Because Zev, it's one thing if we just barely scraped by, if we just kind of sort of survived, and all the arrows and all the shots and everything that was taken at us, if they didn't quite land, that would be bad enough. But for the very fact that then God now flips the entire script and raises up our lives and shows that, hey, you know what? He can do whatever he wants with whoever he wants, however he wants, whenever he wants. And it's not contingent on them. It's not contingent on their system. It's not contingent on their ability to make something happen. It's completely contingent on the will of the Lord. God said, I'm the one. Promotion comes from the Lord. I exalt one, I put one up, and I tear one down. That's the way he does it. And he always does that. He allows the world to do a few things on their way. He lets that happen because it serves his purposes, but when he wants to, he pulls the card, just like he did with Nebuchadnezzar, just like he did with Pharaoh, and just like he will do in this day, in this time, with what's going on around us, he will pull people's cards. In the middle of that, you know, God does raise up his people. I was thinking about Joseph the other day. I mean, you think the people in Pharaoh's court were happy when Joseph got promoted and put into the position that he was put into, and Pharaoh said, "This guy's not the second in the land."
That sounds that sounds sort of familiar to your life.
Oh my gosh!
We're not going to go into detail on it, but I mean, similar thing.
And you know, you get sniped, and you get, but all of that. But still, in the middle of that, if we were doing this in and of ourselves, we wouldn't last a day. But the very fact that it's the Spirit of God that lives in us, and God ordains the lives of his people. Every one of our days is ordained by the Lord. If we line up with it, we live in purpose every moment that we're here. And when we walk in that, absolutely, you are right, it drives them insane. Because why? Because God's blessing is on your life.
Completely insane. I've seen them actually start like going into Rett syndrome, and all I was doing was just standing there and laughing. And that, just standing there and laughing, like outside of a Whole Foods or something, you know, and they go, you know, they make all these noises and things. And I'm like, well, you better get used to it, because that's going to be going on an awful lot in the future.
I know.
A lot everywhere. I'm just looking here at Revelation 11. I just want to, get your reaction. I mean, we know that there's the two witnesses, the two candlesticks before the God of the earth, and then they're empowered to do whatever. And if anyone tries to hurt them, they die. But and then finally the beast comes out of the bottomless pit and then kills them. But then it says later that the nations are angry because the time of wrath has come. Now that also harkens back to I believe Revelation's like a doppelganger, the sixth seal, where it says the sixth seal opens, and we've been going over this last week, and it basically says that you know, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. So the wrath of the Lamb is multifaceted. And then, of course, in Revelation 11, we are, the nations are angry because of the wrath has come and the judgment of the living and the dead has now come. And that time, the Bible says in Revelation 11, is the time of rewards for the prophets and the saints and the workers of God. That's when they rise up. It's right there in Scripture. And this is, of course, after the two witnesses are killed, then the nations are angry because it's the time of judgment. You know,
yeah.
and they hate, and it's the time of wrath, the wrath of the Lamb, and they hate that. And so they are angry. In other words, they're not mollified that the two witnesses are gone and can't keep everyone in a state of being a hostage. They can't be, it's not that they're angry about. It's that right after that, it's the time of wrath has come, the time of judgment. And, but that is in concert with handing out rewards. And use your imagination for what those are. Handing out rewards to the prophets and the saints at that time, at that same moment.
Yeah. It's reaping and sowing, Zeph. as reaping and sowing. If you reap, if you sow to the flesh, from the flesh you reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, from the Spirit you reap life and you reap peace. It's basically what it is everything comes to account and is being revealed and showed for what it is. So, you know, God has, like you've said before too, God has his perfect judgment, perfect justice, perfect. It's always works out in the end. He balances it out. And so, you know, with all of the things that happen and take place, you know, he brings equity. He brings justice. You know, right now in the world, we're coming into a time where in the world there is on a human level, there is no justice. I mean, on a man-made level, it is a crime to see what has happened to, you know, justice around the world as far as like what is real and what is important and what is fair and what is right. But in all of this, people don't realize that there is not a case that will not be judged before the living God. There's not something that's been done that is not settled to account. Everything is made right in eternity. All things are being brought to bear. And when we get into these situations that we're now coming into, God makes things right.
Yeah, he's you know, he's basically putting his you know, angels of war on the earth, and he's you know, we are at the time, I believe, of a certain kind of wrath, but the lambs are protected. But we are in a time where where people can't solve, you know, they can't solve their budget problems, they can't feed their people. The people are rioting, people are upset. No solution is available. Everything is kind of going haywire, and nobody can solve it. And that's kind of, to me, that's a judgment thing. Nobody can, so no human can solve it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Zeph, too, the thing is like, I mean, if we were, I mean, we're used to going through tough times. I mean, as a people, you know, as the people of God, we're used to, you know, having to trust God and him being faithful and carrying us through. We're used to him giving us each day our daily bread. We're used to, you know, going and being stretched and then watching. And when you come to the end of your limitation and you've watched him and you've followed him and he's stretched you, then you found out what he could do. And we've gotten so, that's become our life and our lifestyle. But for those that haven't ever gone and ever known what that is and have sought the lie for their provision, they're now finding out that what that lie is.
Yeah,
and
there's
a
no
lie more, won't feed you.
There's no more provision.
No. I mean, it's a lie. So, you know, it comes
a Ponzi
home.
Scheme.
And when it does, people get angry. You know, they're upset because they banked on the wrong thing.
Because they sold their soul and now they're given nothing for it. And they sold their soul and their magic is dried up. You know, they could get what they wanted just by thinking about it once they were on. I liken it to a switch in one of my last podcasts where if you sell out to them, it's like they turn, and I've seen this in my own life as when I was going through a courting phase, one of a few, but where they flip the switch on and suddenly everything goes my way. Perfect health, perfect this, perfect that, just all like automatically turns in one day to everything positive. And then when you don't do what they want, the witches who run it all, they turn it off. They just flip the switch the other way. Then the world's completely against you and everything is ruined. And I've been through that. And so they thought, okay, I can get the switch going. You know what I mean? I the switch is on and wow, it's great. Life is great. And I go to church too. So it's win-win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but see, oh yeah, then I met Trish. I remember when I was being courted, but then I met Trish, right, who's a lamb. You know, we were lambs, you know, whether or not we were conscious of it, we were lamb, you know, this was all going on. So I meet Trish and we start dating. We actually just fell in love and, you know, we've been together ever since. And the moment that I met Trish, they flipped the switch off. But that's not the first time they flipped the switch off. They'd flipped it on and off before many times. And then they laugh at you, you know, like, why in the world would you choose to be miserable? You know, why in the world would you choose to be persecuted and to be mocked and scorned and made a laughing stock? Cause you know, it's all just handed to you and you don't take it. And, you know, why put yourself through that kind of, you know, pressure from society and, You know, you can't go places. People sabotage things. People mess with you. If they can get away with it, they'll kill you if they can get away with it. Why would you want to be like that? And the answer is today. Because look at today. Look where we are today. That's the reason. Yeah. I'm certain today, I don't hear any laughter. Today, I don't receive any mocking. Today, I'm not seeing my friends. I'm not seeing you, you know, go through what you went through even a year ago.
No, it's totally different. You know, in fact, I was talking with a buddy of mine as well, a different one, just about how different our lives are 18 months ago and where they are right now. I mean, just in a very short window of time, how many things have changed and how fast the script has been flipped. Because, you know, the other thing too, Zeph, is that switch.
It's true.
It's not controlled ultimately by the witches. God can override the power board at any time. At any time, he decides, all right, I'm just going to overload the entire circuit board.
Exactly.
And it's on over here, and it's blacked out over here, and people are flipping dead switches that aren't going anywhere.
Yeah, God hates witches. You know, I mean, basically, you know, his word says, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. And there's a good reason for that, because the reason he's so angry with witches is because they get involved in the political process, and they become kingmakers, you know, and it's a matriarchy, and this is hidden from knowledge, but it's something I know because I saw that when I was like a little kid. I understood, well, you know, this aspect that maybe I can share with you. They're the ones who actually make the decisions behind the scenes, and so when you sell out, you're really selling out into their control, even if it's over here somewhere or over there somewhere. They're still, you know, the hidden center of it. And not so hidden once you get into it. But, you know, there's so many of them on the earth. And, you know, in Ezekiel chapter 13, God's complaining about them, saying, you know, you're killing people that ought to live, and you're putting people in power that ought to die, that are wicked. And I'm not going to sit here and let Israel go through this forever. I'm going to put an end to it. But he allows it at that time, he allowed it for a certain period of time. So he had allowed that evil to happen. He'd allowed the witches to take over, or the sewing circles, if you will, is what they're called. But, you know, we all know what that is. And then he put an end to it. And he is putting an end to it now. But he's allowed this not just with Israel, but worldwide. And this hidden matriarchy that kind of runs everything. It's funny. I saw some of my own information back by on another blog. I think it was like a conspiracy site where a guy was trying to talk about this and the Illuminati and, you know, the control of the earth and about the Hollywood mind control and who's powerful. And he said in his article, you know, what I've heard recently is that the people that really control Hollywood are the maids. The maids. And I was like, that's my information, dude. I don't know. But I was happy because I don't care who attributes it to anybody. That got out there, that somebody said on a blog, it's the maids. Yeah. I've been trying to explain this to people for years. They run Hollywood. They are the ones who are, they're in maid costumes and disguise, and they're running the whole show. Glass backwards had it, but I'm just saying they're running the whole show. A lot of people don't understand that. They don't understand that concept. They see like Rupert Murdoch, and they see, you know, Harvey Weinstein, and they see, you know, whatever. I'm just pulling Hollywood names out of a hat here, but you know, they don't understand that those guys don't, you know, had to be made by somebody. And
well, it's not what people think. See, that's the thing too, is that the whole surface reality of what people see and what is real and how things work in the realm of spirit, something totally different. Because even, you know, I like to refer back to Bishop Conko's stuff, because I mean, I think, you know, he's one that really gave a lot of just bringing things to light about the satanic structure and the way that things work there.
And he agreed he agreed with what I just said too.
Yeah. Yeah. And with that, absolutely. Because with that too, in the satanic structure, the people that are, you know, in power on the spiritual level in that structure, that are given demonic hierarchy power because of the demons that they work with and the alliances that they have there. In the natural, a lot of times, these are not the ones that you would think. But the ones that control things on that realm and in that level, it's a whole different way. So, I mean, even he talked about his position, you know, and his family and the fact that, you know, they were poor.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't in certain positions, but the way the demonic works and the way that they align themselves, it's a whole different thing.
Yeah, the people,
and if you look,
go ahead.
No, if you look at things from the natural, if you look at things from the surface level, you're going to miss it. But when you start seeing things in spirit, and you know what's interesting is up to, I mean, you know what it like when you go into a place and you recognize people in the realm of spirit, and they recognize you, and you know that you're on different sides, and you know, and you go into some
a very spot. Unpleasant topic here. Now, go ahead.
Well, no, you go into places, and they recognize. I mean, there's a lot of people kind of in the middle that are kind of in that fog, but the ones that are aligned with the spirit, and the ones that have given themselves over to the spirit of God, and the ones that have align themselves on the demonic and have given themselves over to the powers on that side. When you go into different places and you recognize who's who, and I mean you're ready to throw down if God pulls it, because and they know, you know. So I mean I'm just thinking back Zeph, to what you and I and Patrick and Trish were walking around New Mexico.
Yeah.
And I mean there were some places we walked in. I mean I walked by one lady there. I mean, her eyes, she was like a deer in the headlights. I thought she was going to have a coronary just when we walked through that hallway. But, I mean, I know what she was, and I know where she was coming from.
Yeah, well, you mean the hallway in that church that we went to?
Different places. Yeah, no, there was a bunch of them over there, actually.
Well, you're talking about downtown Satan Fay, I call it. Satan Fay, I tell you, it's wall-to-wall witchcraft, and it's wall-to-wall Jezebels, and it's wall-to-wall. That whole hierarchy you're talking about is huge. And then there's a lot of, I've seen some magic going on in the square there that I've never really seen anywhere else. Probably in L.A. I've seen it on occasion, but not on that level. When I remember it was Halloween when Bill Clinton was going to come speak. He was no longer, Bush was president, but he was going to speak. And before he got there, there had security all over the place, and they were bussing people in, and the atmosphere changed, and the light changed, and the clouds changed, and the temperature changed, and wind started blowing, and weird things. And all kinds of demonic activity, magical activity, just the whole atmosphere changed in preparation. You could feel it. And it was this, if you were on that side, it would be like a feel good vibe that just comes over you. Like when you listen to music and you're kind of relaxing and you're kind of happy, right? You know, that like something like that to put everyone in that mood, in that everyone into a hive mind state. But the manifestations were so visual and the light changes were so visual that you couldn't miss it. It was like day and night, you know, it was huge. And, I never forgot that, you know, and of course his speech went well and everyone there was like, you know, applauded and everything was fine. I've seen it a couple other times in Santa Fe when we lived down in the downtown area. And, all I can say about it is I'm not impressed, you know, okay, fine, they can do that, but I've seen God do even, you know, 10 times more than that. I mean, a million
absolutely.
Times.
Absolutely.
I've seen. Well,
the thing is, F2, is that and this is what's key for God's people to live in the reality of, is that we trump all of that at any given moment whenever God chooses to flip the switch with us. See, I mean, you know, we live in a state, Zeph, where we're constantly ready. We're ready to respond. We're ready to do whatever it is that the Spirit of God leads us to do. And even like you were going through Revelation 11, I mean, God's people, that's them, you know, that's us, that's that we have that power. You know, scriptures talk about Elijah was a man just like us, and you know, when this man prayed, the skies were shut up. When this man prayed, things happened, fire fell from heaven. I mean, when this man prayed, things changed. And when we pray, when we walk with the Spirit of God, any one of these situations we go into, they can have hundreds, thousands, millions of witches. Doesn't matter. One.
Here,
one plus God is the majority.
Well, the witches are in league with the devil. So, I mean, that's, you know, that's pretty simple. But Revelation 11:11, just for people that are on the 11:11 thing for this week, check this out. And they that dwell upon the earth shall, this is, I'm going to read 10, 11, and 12, but we'll so we'll put 11, we'll kind of bookend 11. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood on their feet. This is 11:11 now. This is the resurrection of the two prophets. And the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell upon all of them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. That's 11:11.
Cool. And that's the rising of the lambs too.
Yes. Well, it's all, see, all the meaning of this, of the whole book of Revelation is veiled to the world. You know, they only see the surface story. They don't understand what's being said. That's right. That's the chapter. That's exactly what I was thinking when you said it. Okay. This is the rising of the lambs, because
the moment they think we're dead, the moment they think we're done is the moment that the Spirit of God flips it around and raises us up in their sight.
In their sight. It's very important that he does it in their sight. So get used to that, people.
Absolutely.
That, see, we're going to be doing everything in the open.
Absolutely. Because everything that they sought to do against us was done in secret, was done in closed room sessions, was done behind the scenes, was done with the lights off, was done in a way that they thought nobody would ever see and would ever understand. God turns it around because he loves it in the light. He loves exposing things for what they are. He loves to show things where his people have nothing to hide. We live open. We live our lives in the light. Everything's out there and exposed. And what he does with us, he does it openly.
And then it says, I got to read 13 too. I just got to do this. And the same hour was, there was a, and at that same hour where there was the ascendancy of the lambs, there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain men, 7,000, and the remnant were frightened, but they gave glory to the God of heaven. Now the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe is coming quickly. Yeah, that's what's happening. I mean, we're in that, I believe we are in that judgment time. Perhaps it's early because we haven't had all the opening of the seals, but we're getting close. If we're not there yet, we're getting close to that, to all those seals, especially the sixth seal being opened, which looks to me to be, oh, I'll get your opinion. I had a direct kind of revelation about this. I kept looking. I must have seen the scripture a million times, but check this out. I was even given a location here by the language, and then it popped out at me in a kind of a spiritual way. During this time we have big earthquake. The stars of heaven fall to the earth like a fig casser, untimely figs. The heaven is departed like a scroll when it's rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Sounds like, you know, the pole shift type of thing. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains, the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens in the rocks of the mountains. And I got Denver, Rocky Mountains, because it's dens, rocks, mountain, Denver, Rocky Mountain. And said to the mountains and rocks, said to the Rocky Mountains, fall on us, i.e. dig underground, and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come. You see, it's a repeat in chapter 11 and elsewhere. And who will be able to stand? So the great day of wrath also involves earth changes, as we know. But what popped out to me is dens, rocks, mountains, Denver, Rocky Mountains. It just kept popping out at me over and over again. Mm-hmm. What the language was so bizarre. This is the King James Version. Yeah. Dens, rocks. They could have said, okay, caves. You know, but it's dens and rocks and mountains. It's not like mountains. They're mentioning rocks. So it just came Denver, Rocky Mountains. In other words, that's the place where they're going to try to hide all the elites during this.
Well, good luck.
And no, they're hiding from the wrath of the Lamb or the pole
shift. I know,
but
nobody can hide from him.
Right.
That's just it.
And then I had another revelation, which was they will go. They will hide in there, but they will be conquered by others who remain hidden at this time, who will take over that place under the Denver airport and under the Rocky Mountains. In other words, they will not be able, not because the earth collapses on them, but because others are go there and conquer them. I don't know who the others are, but I mean that's what I got. So, and I'm looking at that, going, "Wow, this is on." I'm watching. I'm seeing, you know, hysteria also about 11/11, but I'm also seeing prophecy, and you know, God's word coming to pass. And so I've been kind of like led into the book of Revelation quite heavily recently. And it looks to me like when this happens, when this event happens where they're all going underground, remember, Obama's been there already two times in the last month to Denver, okay, to the, and, you know, to this, you know, and they were running drills, military drills and all that for in case of a terrorist or a nuclear. And the other thing I get recently was World War III, but I get World War III as vengeance of God on, and he said he will protect his lambs during World War III. He will protect his lambs during the Polish. He'll protect them all the way through. So there's no problem. I don't know what that means, protection, but you have nothing to worry about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing.
And you know, Zeph, the no matter what goes on the outside and on the external, as long as people keep their focus on Christ, he's always going to help them to walk through and live in the miraculous. I mean, that's you know, one of the key things off of just Peter stepping out of the boat and walking towards Jesus, is that as long as his eyes are on Christ, as long as he's looking there, you can walk above whatever situation is going on around you.
Right.
So, but the moment that you start looking at everything else going around you and your focus is split and you're thinking in those different directions, that's when you start to sink. And so as long as people seek first the kingdom, they live in that place, that Matthew 6 place of, look, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. He's going to take care of what we need. He always does.
Yeah. And so that was really, so though this is all going on and the earth is going through the changes, no worries. He will take care of his own. He will protect his lambs during this time. It seems crazy. I know it seems like a big leap of faith, and it is, but that's the word that I have received. He will protect his own at that time of the opening of the seals and the very scary earth changes. And then, of course, we have more detail of it in later chapters of Revelation on these opening the seals and the time of judgment, what it really means in terms of plagues and famine and earthquakes and, you know, all kinds of, you know, poisons in the waters and all of that stuff. There's still no worries. It's not meant for the lambs. It's not meant for God's people. It's meant for them as vengeance, those who rejected God, those who rejected his offering, and those who slew his lambs from the beginning of the world. And remember, it says the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. And so from the beginning of time, all these murders have gone on. All this blood has been spilled of God's people, and not just, you know, Salome and John the Baptist or Herod and all that. It's been going on from the beginning in many families and elsewhere where there's a lamb in the family. All they see is a sacrifice, and then there's some accident. You know, all of that is being addressed in the book of Revelation. Justice, perfect justice, implacable justice across the board. It's the day of vengeance. The terrible day of the Lord is a day of vengeance and wrath, but it is vengeance with a purpose to avenge his children. And he waits, and then he resurrects everybody. So, you know, it's perfect justice, because in the midst of the judgments and all the horrors going on, his own are resurrected like nothing happened. So those prophets that were slain, we're going to see them. They're walking around. No problem. Oh, death, yeah. Where is thy sting? Those people that were boiled in oil and crucified upside down and all the rest of it, no problem. God restores them and at the same time destroys all those who were part and parcel of killing the prophets and the saints and the apostles and the workers of God, the lambs of God, because it's the Lamb, capital L. The Lamb takes care of his lambs. And even if it's at the end of time, that he has a set appointed time where he's going to do it, he's going to do it across the board, take care of it, and it's, you're going to feel like you've been through a whirlwind. You're going to feel like you've really been through something. You're just going to throw yourself on your face before God and go, "This is so awesome. I can't even believe it. Thank you, Lord." You're not going to think too much about the people that chose. Remember, they chose. that
Absolutely.
Fate. They knew God and his offering. They knew the Lord. They knew what they were doing was wrong. They know it's not right to slay people. They know it's not right to do blood sacrifices of innocents. They know it's not right to conduct wars for, you know, for whatever, for as a satanic sacrifice to get money and so forth. They know all that is wrong. They know that. And in doing that, they reject God's offer of salvation. So if, yeah, I guess they're playing musical chairs. They figure as long as they get a seat before the music stops playing, they'll be okay. But what if there's no extra seats available?
And the chairs are on the deck of the Titanic.
Yeah, the Titanic's upended already. And it's just about to go under for the final time. And they go, okay, now I'll repent. Well, okay, I wouldn't.
You know, Zeph, it's not also that big of a stretch, a leap of faith, for people to believe that God is going to take care of his during this time. Because God is consistent. You know, God is, and he's consistent and he's true to his word. And, you know, what one thing that people have to resolve themselves to is to trust him. You know, to trust him at his word, that when he said that he would meet needs, that he would take care of his people, that he would walk ahead of them, that his glory would be their rear guard, follow, and he leads and we follow, that he takes care of his people. And so it's the promise is true, whether it's something seemingly small or something seemingly big, it's not a big thing for him. I mean, this is the God that created the universe, you know, created the planet that we're walking on, put, you know, everything in motion so that, you know, you and I could even enjoy breath and life and to walk around on this earth and have conscious thought and to live in these bodies that are incredibly complex, past anything that anybody will ever be able to fabricate in cyberspace and all that kind of stuff. They're archaic compared to what just the human body is alone. God's put all of that in place. You know, do people think that he can't take care of them, that he can't watch out for them, that he can't, you know, make sure that that which is that he's promised will come to pass in their lives? See, he will accomplish what it is that, I have to say this very clearly, he will accomplish and he will do what he promised he said he would do. So when he is given a promise, when he has spoken it, it is done. And that is the thing. God has exalted his word even above his name, and that when God says something, that he does it. That's why, you know, the whole world, I mean, his word is good. You know, we live in a world where people's word is not good. They say one thing and they mean something else and they flip all over the place. That's not the God we serve. When God says something, it happens every time. And yeah. So when he said something about his people, when he said something that he's going to do, it comes to pass.
Amen. Exactly. So you can rely on that word and rely on the fact that, you know, he's able to use corrupt people to publish a Bible that would be, you know, containing his word. But it doesn't do you any good unless you have the Holy Spirit. And you can't have the Holy Spirit unless you repent and accept Jesus' offering of salvation, of God's offering of salvation of his son, and are washed in his blood. And if you're not washed in his blood, meaning you've repented and, you know, and you believe he is the Son of God, hence God, and you accept it, you know, you embrace it. And unless that happens, you're not going to understand the Bible. It's veiled. It's so thick with layers that you can't, there's no code on earth that can break it. But yet, you know, there isn't any. It's true. He could use, King Jim, and he could use Constantine, and he could use the all kinds of things and the editing process. He has his hand on the whole thing. There's nothing that happens that's not his will. So he can use all, because people will pick apart the Bible and they'll go, okay, well, these guys were corrupt, or this was corrupt, or this wasn't the real language of the time, or, you know, they didn't use the right, or the Dead Sea Scrolls, you know, counteracts, you know, what you just read, and on and on and on. They can try to pick it apart, but for whatever reason, he chose exactly the people to be involved. He got the thing done. No matter what they intended, he got what he intended to do done, so that we would have a guide for being on earth.
Absolutely.
And
And Zeph, you're absolutely right, because the element of God's Spirit unlocking it. See, that's just it. It is encrypted in a way that nobody can ever access it unless the Spirit of God makes it known. And it's the same Spirit that will speak to you and the wind going through the trees and rustling the leaves. It's the same Spirit of God that will speak to you when you see a sunset. It's the same Spirit of God that will speak to you when you look up and you see the clouds, or when you see a blade of grass growing in the field. I mean, he will speak to you around it, but he will speak to you through his word. And that word is only opened up to those to whom the Spirit of God wants to open it up. And it is closed and shut and locked off to those that would try to understand it with their intellectual mind, try to understand it from their vain pursuits, try to understand it from their own personal agendas. He will lock it off from them.
Yeah, you can't and really.
You can't. You can't access it. It's just not going to happen. And you can run your computer software and your Bible codes and your this and your that, but you are not going to see anything unless the Spirit of God wants you to see it. And then when he wants you to see it, you can be 5 years old. You can be 10, and you can open that up, and the Spirit of God will just speak to you straight off of that page and unlock the mysteries of what's going on. I mean, every time for me, Zeph, you know, the thing is that's just been incredible is how God speaks to me through his word. And he will lead that reading. He will take you into a place, and he will show you what's going on right now, this day, this time, what it is that you need. Because, you know, the Logos and the Rhema, he is the Word. I mean, he is the Word. And he gives us this day our daily bread, that Rhema that we need for the day, that specific word that comes from the Spirit of God that you need, that I need for right now, where it is that we are, that and the decisions that we have to make in line with his Spirit and in line with what it is that he has for us, that he gives that to us right now in this moment. He's always on time with that word. And people are looking too much to what's going on around them, and they're not focusing on that. You gotta trust him on this, because when he speaks to you, and this is what people are gonna need going forward. They're gonna need to hear from him, because there's gonna be so many voices circling around. There's gonna be so many people with all their opinions and all of their agendas that won't know what to do. And the one that's gonna have that direction is gonna be his people. The ones that are going to know what to do in the circumstances and the situations that people find themselves in are going to be the ones with the word. See, this is partly why we are going to be rising at this time, is because we're going to know what to do. The world is not going to know what to do, but the people of God are going to know what to do. That was part of the reason why Joseph rose in the time that he did, was that Pharaoh, he was lost. He didn't know what to do. And when Joseph interpreted the dream, what did he say? He said, look, is there, and when he gave him the blueprint, he said, look, find a man that's going to be able to do this. And Pharaoh said, is there anybody else that's got this ability, this skill, the Spirit of God in him to hear? You do it. Part of the reason why God's people are going to rise at this time is because they're going to know what to do in the situations that people face. And when people are stretched and they're lost, they're going to give them that ability and that position so that which needs to take place can happen.
Yeah. There's going to be a need for some sort of leadership, and it's going to have to be from the Spirit, because logic will fail humanity at that point.
Absolutely.
And so I want to give your website out, or want you to give your website, and I suggest you go there, those of you on computer, and there's a number of great talks and sermons by Govinda that you can listen to and get involved. Go ahead and let them know how they can partake.
Yeah, sure. It's just www.faithmix.com, FAITHMIX.com, faithmix.com. For us, that's just where we put up whatever it is that God gives us, you know, and there's a lot of stuff up there. So
there's a lot there. And yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's just been, Zeph, when God kind of gave us that assignment, because there's a few of us that work together on it, and you know, when God gave us that, it was just something that's supposed to be a support and a help and an assistance to the people that want to do this for real, and it's just there. You know, we put stuff up, we put it out, and people go to it, and they find what they need, and they move on. I mean, that's you know, it's just, that's all it is. So, you know, go there, enjoy, use what you need. And if there's a way that we can help you any further, please drop us a line. But we're Zeph, we're just cheering people on in this whole thing, because there's a real life. There's a real walk. There's a real way that we're supposed to go through this thing. And if people live in it, they live in the abundant life that Jesus promised. You know, he said in John 10, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And that abundant life is not restricted from the time that we're moving now into. God intends for us to have that abundant life even in this time, especially in this time that we're coming now into,
yeah.
That people are intended to live in that.
It's vengeance too, because, you know, they see you and jealousy, but I mean, it's vengeance. I mean, you know, they see the restoration, the ascension, you know, the two witnesses getting up from the at perfectly okay, perfectly alive. And they were just partying, at your demise. And then there you are, completely restored, not traumatized, not having PTSD from the things they did to you earlier in life. All of a sudden, all that is completely gone, and you're just right there, totally confident, totally excited, having this life. And they look at you, and the smart ones will go, "Well, I need some of that. I mean, maybe I made a mistake, and I want what you've got. You know, that's perfectly fine. You can all have that. All of you who are surreptitiously listening in, and I know you'll be listening more to the podcast than the hardcore shortwave radio, which is just for us hardcore radio fanatics. As people that have been seeking the truth for a long time have shortwave radios. But for there'll be those of you listening to the podcast who are going to start getting this feeling that you'll hear the voice of Govinda, and you'll hear my voice, and you'll hear the voice of the people, and you'll see the fellowship, and you'll realize you made a mistake, a huge mistake, a mistake that could end you and your family as you know it. A mistake that is gonna end up in, let me just put it this way. If you knew, let's say you don't have any faith, you knew that God was, but suddenly you knew that God was the creator of heaven and earth. Okay, you knew he was the guy who created all things that are made. And you're standing before him. Are you gonna fight him? Are you gonna go up against him, thinking you can win? You wouldn't do that if you were standing right before, right at the throne of God, and you realize this is the guy that made everything that's made, including me. You're not, it's a ridiculous, you'd have to be an utter fool to think you could fight God. But, because of all the mind control and deception, that's exactly what's going on earth. You can't win. The devil is trying to basically keep everyone on the sinking ship until the time of wrath and hope that God ends up killing all these people. And i.e. he gets to take all these souls. But me thinks there's also a tribulation harvest. You know, Govin, don't you think
absolutely,
so?
Govin? Absolutely. Oh, yeah. No, that's something that's coming as well. And, you know, one thing, too, that people have to understand. If you've got breath in your nostrils and in your lungs, and you've got the ability to hear this, it's not too late for you. You know, the Spirit of God is the blood of Christ is sufficient to pay your price so that you don't have to pay the price that you're going to owe in a very short time. You can that debt can be settled, and you can actually spend the remaining time of your life here on earth living what you were meant to live. But you got to do it now. You can't wait. You can't delay any longer. The fact that you've even been allowed to delay this long is the grace of God. Is God being merciful to you to give you that space to repent and to get right? Do it now. I'm serious. Don't take any more time. You don't know how many more breaths you have. You know, use that breath that's in your lungs right now, and with the next one that comes out, say, Lord God, I'm sorry. Lord God, please forgive me. Lord, I am so sorry. Please cleanse me with your blood. Forgive me of my sins. Jesus, come into my heart and save me. I want to follow you. I want to walk with you. I don't want to do this any other way anymore. You are Lord. You are Savior. You are ruler of all, and I want you, and I want to walk with you every day of my life. Do that now, and do that before him, and he will show himself strong on your behalf. And if you don't, then you only have yourself to blame, because he offered that to you of his free will. He went out of his way to make sure that everything was done just so that you could live with him and know him and know what life was. And if you've chosen something else, you did that. And you know, Zeph, sometimes when people, when they say, how can God send, you know, people to hell? And all, no, you know what? God doesn't send anybody anywhere.
No, you volunteer. Yeah, you volunteer for hell. They choose it.
They choose in and of themselves because God respects free will and people choose who they want to serve. That's why scriptures say, choose ye this day whom ye shall serve.
Yeah.
And people choose it. And if you choose life, you reap life. If you choose death and corruption, you reap death and corruption. And that's why God, but you know what, if people are wondering and they're like, how can I do this? Look, He also gives His people power. He gives His people power that goes beyond any of the power this world has. And He gives us the power to live the life that He intends for us. But the first thing we have to do is take that one step towards Him, and He will meet you right there. You know, I had a friend of mine, Jeff, that told me one time, he said, you take as much of yourself as you know, and you give it to as much of God as you know and you understand and He's revealed to you, and He will meet you there every time.
We're in the last minute here, and I just want to say now I'm going to be the bad guy because everything you said is glorious and wonderful. I'm just going to be the bad guy, and I'm going to take my cue from Jude 1:23, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. So let me just go ahead and help you with fear. If you don't choose the Lord, and if you know the Lord is the Lord, and you know God is the Lord, but you just don't do it, the entire bill of all the iniquity and all the murders and all the injustice and everything that is the collective of humanity's sin will be put on your head as an individual.
Absolutely.
And the opposite happens in Christ. Everything that you've done and everything the world has, because we're all part of the world, you see, we all deserve to be punished, each one of us, for the entire bill from the beginning of sin to now. Even if we weren't there physically, even if you say, well, I didn't kill anybody, doesn't matter. You're on the side of sin. You're on the side of hate. You're on the side of blood. You have approved the bloodletting. You've done it by proxy. Okay. So give it some thought. I'm just saying that if you don't do it now, that's the bill you're going to have to pay. And nobody can pay that bill. So do it now.
That's the point. Do it now.
Okay, here we go. We're
do
done.
It now. Right.
Folks, it's WWCR, and we are all out of time. And Govinda, stay right there. I'm sorry. It goes so fast.
Always does.
There's nothing I can do.
Love you guys.
Stay right there, please. There's nothing I can really do. I'm looking for a way to get out of it. I had a song selected, and I just can't find it right now, so we may just go out. You know what? I just can't find it, so I'm just going to go ahead and put this on. I'm sorry. I had it. It's gone. Things happen. Okay?
Should we just pray him out the door?
We got to go. Okay. Govinda, stay right there. Zeph Daniel for Trish, Frankie, and everybody. Govinda. Thank you for tuning in. This is, I don't even know what we call the show, but we're here every weekend, and we love you and we're praying for you, and we're going to see you next week, and those of you, we'll see you during the week on the podcast, and hey, chin up. It's all good right now. It's getting better and better too.
Rolling back stone. Roll back the stone. Back away, roll back the stone, open up the way, singing, hey, yeah.